I'd like now to welcome Josh Rubner. He is author of the book Shattered Hopes. He is policy director of the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation, and he is a co-founder of Jews for Peace in Palestine and Israel. And he will be speaking tonight, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock at St. Bede's Episcopal Church here in Santa Fe. And he will also be speaking tomorrow night in Albuquerque at the Albuquerque Mennonite Church. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we don't have a lot of time left in the show, but I wanted to let people know that you were speaking tonight and what you were talking about. I mean, you've written a book about the failed Israeli-Palestinian peace program, peace process, and one of the things that you bring out, which is so obvious that we wonder why it needs stating, but it does, is the fact that if the U.S. is trying to broker a peace deal, but they're arming one side and not the other, you've got a problem.
That's exactly right. And not only are we arming Israel to the teeth to commit the types of horrific war crimes in the Gaza Strip that we saw this summer, but we're also providing Israel with the diplomatic protection at the UN, at other international forums that it needs to prevent itself from being held accountable for these war crimes against the Palestinian people. So what my book does is to look at how the Obama administration has continued these U.S. policies, which in effect make us incapable of serving as an honest broker to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian issue in a just and lasting way.
What do you think is the motivation for basically what amounts to a continued years-long, decades-long setup for failure? Like, why?
Well, I think that the people in successive U.S. administrations believe that they are trying their best and believe that the United States has a role to play in helping to resolve this issue. I think it's very difficult when you're inside the bubble of the Washington, D.C. beltway to understand just how biased and nonsensical these policies are. So whereas Washington continues to think of itself as a just and honest broker to the Israeli-Palestinian issue, that has lost credibility not only amongst huge numbers of Americans, but also people around the world think it's a joke that the United States tries to present itself in this way as a fair mediator.
The United States seems to be the one, perhaps the one and only ally of Israel in the world. Why is that?
Well, I think a large part of the nearly unconditional support that we provide to Israel's policies of oppression toward the Palestinian people can be explained by the fact that there is a strong domestic lobby within the United States that lobbies on behalf of the policies of the Israeli government. This is no deep, dark secret. This is something that's open and visible to anyone paying attention to the issue. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee sends thousands upon thousands of citizen lobbyists up to Capitol Hill every year to lobby in favor of these policies. And I think it goes a long way toward explaining why the United States cannot put together a policy that is self-evidently more in its national interest and less biased.
This set of lobbyists is well known, and the power of that lobby is well known. At the same time, we still have to ask, what's in it for the executive branch? What's in it for the State Department? These people are not voted for by the voters. In other words, they're not as affected by campaign money, by lobbyists, as senators and representatives. What is in it for the United States overall to maintain this strong alliance with Israel?
Well, I don't want to portray this solely as a one-sided relationship. I do think the United States gets material benefits from this relationship in terms of the war technologies that Israel develops that are put into use by the United States around the globe, in terms of weapons-making partnerships between U.S. and Israeli firms, in terms of U.S. police forces being trained by Israeli police forces in terms of crowd control and other techniques that it uses to suppress Palestinian protest. All of these are very tangible, but certainly not positive ways in which the United States believes that it gains through this relationship.
There's been a lot of talk about the militarization of the police. Do you link it to that kind of police training that you just mentioned?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of training that goes on. There are a lot of police chiefs who are brought to Israel to witness the Israeli police and military's techniques for keeping control over the captive Palestinian population, and those policies are then translated into action here in the United States. And there are also a lot of Israeli weapons manufacturers that are winning Department of Homeland contracts for the militarization of the police. So there's absolutely a close relationship between the two there.
You are a member of a movement of a large movement of Jewish Americans who is challenging Israel's policies. What does that movement look like, and what kind of divides are you seeing in the Jewish community?
Yeah, it's very true that over the past generation, there's been really an unprecedented split within the Jewish American community, and Jewish Americans, especially the younger generation coming up today, is certainly not in lockstep approval with the policies of the Israeli government as it was to a large extent in the past. And this challenge from largely a younger generation of Jewish Americans is certainly causing a challenge to the perception that all Jewish people support the policies of the government of Israel, which is, of course, not true.
What kinds of conversations are you seeing? I mean, you're really in the thick of it because of the kind of work you do between Jewish Americans who are for and against Israel's policies. That seems like it's quite emotional and contentious sometimes.
That's for sure, to say the least. But the reality is that the door has not only been cracked open, but it's fully ajar. These conversations are taking place not only within Jewish American communities, but within all types of communities of people in the United States. And what we saw from the public opinion polling done during Israel's attack on Gaza this summer was that really the only demographic that is supporting Israel with a majority these days are older, white, male, Republican demographics. So I think as this country continues to diversify, as it becomes younger, this challenge of maintaining U.S. support for Israel will become more and more problematic for its defenders.
What happens then? I mean, is there a glimmer of hope for actual peace in the region? I mean, it seems like at the bottom of all this is a land grab or land acquisition on the part of Israel of what have been traditionally Palestinian lands. Do you see a halting to that possible, or, and even a reversal of that?
Eventually, yes. But I think where the primary glimmer of hope comes from these days is in the fact that you have a united Palestinian civil society calling upon international civil society to engage in campaigns of boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel for its policies of oppression toward the Palestinian people. And what we've seen, especially over the last several years, are huge mainstream victories in these BDS campaigns targeting multinational corporations, and they're succeeding. And Israel and its supporters are becoming increasingly more concerned by these BDS campaigns because I think the writing on the wall is quite clear. Israel is becoming an isolated pariah apartheid state as South Africa was before it ended apartheid, and I think that the same fate will be the same case for Israel and the Palestinians as well in terms of the eventual need to transition to a society of equal rights and democracy and human rights for all.
Josh Rubner is with the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. He is co-founder of Jews for Peace in Palestine and Israel, and he will be in Santa Fe tonight at 7 o'clock speaking at St. Bede's Episcopal Church, and tomorrow night he will be in Albuquerque speaking at the Albuquerque Mennonite Church. Both events are at 7 o'clock here in New Mexico. Josh Rubner, author of Shattered Hopes, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much for having me.